From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
True, said it, but oddly enough, they said on social media. Anytime you're on like Twitter X or Facebook or whatever, it seems like the whole world's ending, right? But then you step away and you enjoy your life and you realize things aren't as bad as they seem. Hell yes, Mr. Rob Roop, thank you very much. It's me, Mike. This is Mike Davidson Lives. Thanks for hanging. Thanks for downloading. Glad to be with you. Some rough news, obviously, over the weekend regarding geopolitical bullshit. Made it through, right? I made it through my back pain. That's good. I tell you, Friday when I was at work, it hurt like a son of a bitch to stand, but I did. It must have been a dozen times where if I moved the wrong way with the back pain, it felt like I was seizing up. Like it was just like I couldn't move, and I had to tell myself stop, or I would fall over, and then it went away. That is pretty much all subsided. I'm probably about 90-95% better. Spent a good chunk of the weekend on the couch with the heating pad, but I did get up. I did go and do some stuff, including taking my three kids to the park, and they were mostly behaved. They're as klutzy as I am, though. I mean, we had like 75, 80 degree weather throughout the weekend, mid-April, not bad. But all three of my kids came back home a little dinged up. I think Lana had a little bit of a burn on her because some friction on a plastic slide. And then Hazel and Logan collided. He ran behind her as she was swinging back. His head hit her hip. She went flying forward. And he went flying backward, hitting his head again. And thankfully, nobody ended up in the hospital. But oh boy, I was just glad it wasn't me, because I would find a way to get hurt on the playground, but they had a blast otherwise. Watched a bunch of movies. Wife, you know, she was doing puzzles. We actually got the house kind of sort of clean. I was able to finish up Boys of Some or something I haven't read in about well over a decade by Roger Kahn about the early 50s Brooklyn Dodgers. That's Jackie Robinson, that's Pee Wee Reese, Duke Snider, Roy Campanella, and a whole bunch of other guys. And when you read it as a younger person and then reread it again when you're in your 40s, it kind of hits different and kind of hits home a little bit. Because you're reading about these guys past their glory, holding down Joe jobs, or you know, some of them were successful enough to retire or have a comfortable job. Other guys, it's not like today where you can make hundreds of thousands, if not like tens of millions, some guys hundreds of millions, and just, you know, live off that baseball money, that football money, hypothetically speaking. You can always blow that cash, but you know, the athletes didn't get paid a lot back in the day. And we'll kind of talk about that with a current athlete here in just a few moments. But, I mean, these were kind of blue-collar guys. If they weren't playing baseball, they'd be doing other things. And some guys were able to navigate family life, business life, post-baseball fairly well. Others, not so much. You know how today's modern woman, the career woman, finds out that having a career and family is kind of difficult, and they, you know, you see sometimes those TikTok videos, you can't have it all. Well, that applies for men too, and you kind of see that with the likes of was it Carla Bean? I'm drawing a blank on his name. And then of course Jackie Robinson had some problems with his son, because you know, you're on the road, you're playing, you know, you're away from family, you know, you're earning money and all that stuff, but you're basically going from town to town, and maybe you see him when you're at home, but then again, you spend a good chunk of time at the ballpark. But it's a very interesting read. If you haven't read it, go and do so. By the way, one of the guys, Carl Erskine, he's still alive. He, in fact, might be the last living Boy of Summer from that group. 97 years old, just down the road in Anderson, Indiana. That's kind of a bygone era of the athlete, you know, making a decent amount of money, but not like, you know, becoming multi-million dollar rich like you see so much nowadays. Also rare, well-written television shows, but I don't know how the hell this happened, especially since, you know, FX, I believe, owned by Disney. They have a good chunk of Hulu, but Shogun, 8 episodes down, 2 to go. It is fantastic television, fantastic writing, fantastic acting. You don't feel like an idiot or being preached to watching it. It's very intriguing television. It's very well done. And after watching this past episode, I it's one of those things maybe here in a couple of weeks I give a postmortem about it. Because I don't want to spoil anything. If you haven't watched it yet, I mean, this is well worth your time. I mean, if you don't mind reading subtitles, because a lot of it's done in Japanese. You only have really one principal actor who is English. But, I mean, dealing with the politics of Japan centuries ago, samurai and all that, it's comparable to The Godfather. It's comparable to Game of Thrones for some of you out there. And it's very well done, and I hope they finish this up with a bang. That makes sense. But I tell you, there's a scene in this past episode where Lord Tororanga, there's a little bit of dissension in his ranks, and he's having his loyal soldiers take a pledge of loyalty to follow him. And this thing is about as tense as anything you would see in a Tarantino film, like Reservoir Dogs. I was thinking of that final standoff. And that's all I want to say about that, but it's so well done, and I wish there's more television shows like that. X-Men 97 got around to watching the Remembered episode. That's on Disney Plus. And I don't hate this version of X-Men. It's basically a continuation of the Saturday morning cartoon, but it feels different. And I've said this before. It's almost like a different show. I mean, you got a similar look, the same voices for the most part. But because you don't have standards and practices, and because the kids that grew up with the show are now like basically my age, it's kind of an adult show, not like, you know, Skinamax adult, but it's a grown-up show. And so the episode in question gets a little dark. And, you know, it's compelling, but at the same time I'm thinking, could they do this if this was still a Saturday morning cartoon? Just food for thought for fellow nerds out there. Okay, O.J. Simpson. I want to skip over this because I've been kind of ranting about television. If all I did was talk about television, this would be a shorter podcast. Here's me watching television. Yeah, I had a few shows I watched. Maybe I get to this stuff next episode. But O.J. Simpson, I think we can now raise our flags to full staff now that we have mourned his passing, right? Yeah. One of the weird coincidences about his death was the fact that the Ford Motor Company did recall thousands of Ford Broncos. This was not a salute to O.J. There were some mechanical issues with that. In case you didn't realize that when you're watching that slow-ass vehicle go down the highway about 30 years back. But, just kind of one of those odd ironies. And the actual Ford Bronco that O.J. Simpson was in when Al Collins was driving him around with the cops, it is still around. It's in a place called Alcatraz East Crime Museum. It's in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. It's the Crime Museum. Yeah, that's where all the vehicles of innocent people go. Well, he was found not guilty, so obviously this is ironic. Wink, wink. It's in the Crime Museum. Go check that out next time. You know, I have to go check this out now because my wife and I have been talking about we have to get back down to that southeastern corner of Tennessee, you know, with Gatlinburg and all that. We have to check out the Crime Museum. I have to take my picture next to the Ford Bronco. Why not, right? Speaking of odd odd early 90s throwbacks. Remember John Wayne Bobbitt, the abusive Marine that had his wing cut off by his crazy ex-wife? And, we, of course, the early 90s was just, you know, just plump with court television, like O.J., Menendez, Bobbitt, a few others. But, yeah, we were all captivated by Weeniegate. Apparently, he's had his toes amputated. I saw this, and I just thought, well, the poor guy's probably used to this shit by now, right? You know, you lose this, you lose that. But he has to wear special shoes because he has no toes. And they're saying because he was a Marine and stationed at Camp Lejeune. that may have contributed. Poisoned water may have contributed to his toes being cut off. That's kind of weird. But I was thinking about that. If that's true, did he join up with that class action lawsuit, you know? And B, because they had the damn ads for that thing all over the place. You it was almost as obnoxious as some of the political ads I'm seeing as of late. But yeah, the Lejeune ads were everywhere. And if that was the case, could this affect him mentally? Because, I mean, he was a Marine, and if he was indeed as abusive as Lorraine Bobbitt described in court, could that have contributed to his mental well-being? Yeah, because, yeah, if you're drinking tainted water, it's got to affect more than just your toes. And ultimately, it affected his wang. It could have. I'm not a scientist. I should have, like, a disclaimer at the beginning of this podcast. Not a scientist, just speculative stuff. Without the tinfoil hat. So, yeah, he's losing more body parts. Caitlin Clark. This gal is on cloud 9 with an asterisk. Earlier tonight, she was drafted number 1 in the WNBA draft. She's coming to Indiana. She's going to be playing for the Indiana Fever. And it is going to be a circus, both good and bad. Talked about how last podcast there were some veteran players in the WNBA saying, oh, we're going to be rough on her and all that stuff. And as I mentioned before, you know, you play to win the game. I don't expect them to coddle her. There's going to be some growing pains because essentially she's a freshman again. But you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face. You don't want to, like, run her out of the league if she's bringing more eyeballs to the game. I mean, she could be all world and become a legend in the WNBA or wash out and all that crap, right? But she's bringing eyeballs. She's bringing viewers. So not only is it her chance to shine, but anybody that plays with her or against her, their chance to shine and win fans. And do you want to do it by being the best damn player you are, or do you want to do it by being a complete beater? I mean, she could blow this. It's totally possible. I mean, I've been watching sports for years, and this person's the next best thing, and they wash out, or somebody you don't expect to be the next best thing. They end up being pretty damn good. But, you know, she's got a lot of hype because she was pretty damn good in college. But someone brought this up. Her rookie contract for 4 years is only $338,000. Her first year before taxes, and she's going to hate taxes, $76,500. She can make it upwards to about $97,500 4 year, 2027. Which means that there's going to be fans sitting at these games in the upper deck. And yeah, that the speculation is she's going to sell some tickets for the WNBA here. There's going to be fans sitting in the upper deck that make more than her annually. And this isn't me saying, you know, equality, women need to make more money. I have nothing against anybody making more money. But the nature of the beast is you bring in more fans, you are going to make money. And if Caitlin Clark performs well and brings in those fans, and the Fever are making money and the league is making money, this is one of those things where, you know, a high tide raises all ships, right? So the opportunity is there to make more money as a woman basketball player, Caitlin Clark. And I imagine if she just knocks it out of the park, she's going to make that dough back. Besides, she's gotten, with college basketball, she's made quite a bit with the NILs, you know, with State Farm and some of these other things that she has advertised for. But again, this could be a great opportunity for the WNBA at large and all athletes. They just don't have to screw this up. They don't have to make this about, hey, running her out of the league. Because, again, that'd be dumb. Almost as dumb as CBS cutting off Billy Joel. I hear about this Sunday night. They were running a concert about, I think, his 100th show at Madison Square Garden. He's kind of a local guy. You know, he's from New York. And so, you know, he puts on this big concert, and the last few minutes, East and Central time zones cut off by local news. It got out to a late start because of the Masters running over on CBS. Now, if they had interrupted Billy Joel's concert for Heidi, that's one thing. The news, oh God. So, yeah, a little NFL joke there. Maybe Billy Joel needs to make himself an NFL franchise. He just declares himself a team, and that way CBS doesn't preempt him. Get Roger Goodell to, like, you know, he's a team for a day. You can't preempt this guy. But they're going to re-air this live concert Friday, a rerun on CBS, defeating the whole purpose of it being a live concert for people to watch at home. Maybe should they make Billy Joel do the show over again? Do you think he would take to that? You don't think he would throw a big effing fit like John Mellencamp now, would you? He's kind of a short dude. I'd actually pay money to see that. Okay, so squatters here, squatters abroad. Yeah, I talked about some of the squatter issues we've had here in the United States, and how in New York, a woman got arrested for trying to kick people that didn't own the house out of her house. DeSantis down in Florida, signing into legislation an anti squatter bill. In England, Gordon Ramsay's trying to sell this restaurant he has, right? And during the transition, they had to shut down the restaurant. Squatters have taken over and they're camped in, and they can't do anything about it because of some British laws. And of course, Gordon Ramsay's pissed about it. Yeah, they're living inside this thing. They're protesting the gentrification of a neighborhood. Oh no, a business is bringing in money. Whatever should we do? Let's act like bums. And that's what they're doing. If the lawmakers in England are hamstrung, Gordon Ramsay needs to go full Gordon Ramsay. He needs to walk in there, into this restaurant he's trying to sell, hire these squatters, and he can scream these little bastards into submission and have them leave in tears. Just like his TV shows. You know, give them a job. That's the other thing, too. If you give them a job, they're allergic to that crap. So they'll naturally run off. You may not even have to scream to get them out. Just give them a job. They won't like you at all. In fact, that's the whole problem here, is because you've got a restaurant that's bringing in jobs. What were you thinking, Gordon Ramsay? All right, so this week, Americans are either getting tax money back or, you know, they're paying out the ass, Uncle Sam. And, you know, here in Indiana, it's not too bad. My wife and I are getting returns state-wise. I think we got our state already. Federal, I'm not so sure. I'll go talk to her about it tomorrow. And, of course, I will go and buy something stupid with my chunk of the return. But the average American in their lifetime is going to pay about a little north of $520,000 on average. That's crazy. But, you know, with averages, that would imply some are lower. Some states, I think West Virginia's the lowest, but the state with the highest tax rate, or at least where you're going to pay the most taxes in a lifetime, it's oddly enough not California. I don't think California is in the top three. New Jersey, $987,000 in your lifetime. Washington, D.C., not a state, but the tax burden, in your lifetime, $884,000 in the District of Columbia, and you know damn well a lot of the people living in the District of Columbia aren't really doing all that hot for themselves right now. Connecticut, third. Massachusetts, fourth. I don't get the people that complain about living in the Midwest. People that say how backwards Indiana is. Even in these inflationary times where things are just kind of, you know, wild at the grocery store, and we do cringe here, nowhere, we don't bitch about not being taxed. No one here wants to be taxed more. I couldn't imagine living out on the East Coast or the Left Coast and getting taxed out the ass over trivial things. But yeah, think about that. When you sit down and think about it, you will make about $1 million in your lifetime. It might take you longer than most to get there, but the government is taking a good chunk of that effort away from you, and they're doing really stupid shit with it. And, you know, if anybody's going to do stupid shit with your money, it should be you. I mean, look at us. We're funding Iran. The attack on Israel over the weekend, their Iron Dome is impressive, because I think only like one drone, one missile got through it. I mean, because Iran sent a bunch of stuff over to attack Israel. This is, I think, the first time Iran has attacked Israel directly, and they defended themselves well. But Iran has said, we declare ceasefire, and they went to the UN, and now everybody's telling Israel, do not respond in kind. If Iran launched the same firepower on the United States, and even if we took down all the stuff that they sent at us, would you just sit there and go, okay, we're okay now? Or would you want to take out that capability of them to do it again, because you know damn well they'll do it again? And, they're big Hamas supporters. Keep in mind, Israel is not going to invade Iran. It's a little far from it. But most people that are complaining about this probably couldn't point out Israel or Iran on a Middle Eastern map. There are people protesting, pro-Palestinian protests across the country. You know, they've been shutting down places Monday. There were protesters sitting on the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. There were people sitting outside on the interstate outside of O'Hare International in Chicago. And there was a big parade in Detroit. So this has been going on. I don't necessarily like a lot of the messaging here. If this was just a simple protest about the escalation between Hamas and Israel, that's one thing. And if you're protesting on the side of the road, okay, I understand First Amendment. But you are actually disrupting the livelihoods of people trying to catch flights, trying to get to work, trying to earn money to support their families. You're disrupting people's work. You're disrupting people's ability to get home. Just to draw attention to this. Who do you think you're winning over here? I'm not saying it's quite on par what happened to Israel October 7th or these attacks over the weekend by Iran, but there is a little bit of a terroristic bent to it, because you are disrupting the lives of people to basically have them acquiesce to what you want. And that's the problem. You can't protest in the middle of the street. And I wish more governments would do more to get people out of harm's way. Because the other thing too is, if you get like a revved up redneck who sees this and plows into somebody on the interstate, there's obviously going to be criminal charges against him. But I mean, the liability, this is an issue where, you know, the state of Illinois, the state of California, you know, the cities of Chicago and San Francisco could be sued. but they don't want to upset anybody. Well, sometimes it's okay to upset people if it means saving their lives, even if they don't like you. Okay, that's the other thing. And by the way, Tampa, kudos to the cops down there, because I guess there was a protest starting on the interstate. They had that cleared in 15 minutes. What they did is they rolled up, they issued citations, they said, hey, you're fine, get off, and they did, because a lot of these protesters don't have jobs and they can't afford stuff, so they weren't going to test the water there. So way to go. Speaking of testing the waters, the whistleblower for NPR, and again, this is linked up on the Mike Davidson Facebook page last week. Great article. You know, the guy himself, Uri Berliner, a liberal, but he made a point that NPR has just gotten super, super biased to the point where they're only talking and appealing to white liberals. You know, here's... You know, he's still working there. He's the business editor. I don't know how long, though, because the incoming CEO, the CEO there, I guess, Catherine Marr, who he said he hoped would do much better than her predecessor. Apparently, she wrote a letter to staffers talking about how the essay was profoundly disrespectful, hurtful, and demeaning, and that our people represent America, our irreducible... complex nation, she said. We succeed through diversity, just not diversity of thought. Because I think the editorial staff, 87 Democrats registered, 0 Republicans. And she's had some tweets that are very questionable. So, Uri, dude, again, good work, but you might want to brush up on that resume. Maybe you can get a talking head gig on, like, Fox News or News Nation. News Nation might be more up his alley, to be honest, because they kind of have that slight leftist of center thing going for them. And yeah, go talk to Chris Cuomo or something. But God, yeah, they're so tone deaf over there at NPR. There's no pause to reason. It's just, it's hurtful, and we're diverse, even though our ratings, our metrics that show the ratings don't really show this. Okay, so a couple of more things here. Another media story. Let me dig this up. This was on Not the Bee, and this is in the last couple of weeks. Kind of a spy versus spy thing. Just to kind of give you an idea of how hard it is for news media to grasp the concept of science. You grab on a story, you report it, you go, oh man, that would suck if it's true, and you just go on. You go on and report the next crisis. A few weeks ago, NBC News National here, melting polar ice is slowing Earth's rotation with possible consequences for timekeeping. So, the polar ice caps, not only are they're melting, killing all the polar bears or something, it's slowing Earth's rotation. Meanwhile, CBS News. Earth is spinning faster than it used to. Clocks might have to skip a second to keep up. So, CBS says the Earth is going faster. NBC says the Earth is going slower. So that equals out, right? We're going about the same speed. I don't know what the hell ABC News is saying, or Fox News. I really don't care. but you would think these guys would get together and kind of compare notes, get their stories straight here, because I don't know what the hell the Earth's doing, really. I mean, we just had that eclipse. That looked neat, didn't it? Oh, by the way, speaking of... science and you know, we have to stop eating meat and everything. This new study says impossible meat, the Impossible Burger and stuff, may in fact raise your cholesterol, giving way to heart disease and a better chance at diabetes. Now, there's been studies that said, you know, impossible meat, good for you, but they say you're also eating whole foods with the impossible meat. They said they tested this with the absence of whole food. So, like, if you're eating impossible meat with processed foods, That's the other thing too, is if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, are you really a health nut? Or are you just looking for other ways to eat junk food without feeling like a murderer or something? Because if you know, if you're eating these Impossible Burgers, are they really natural? Is there any process to it? Whereas, you know, if you go to the butcher, you get ground beef, it's lean, you don't have to worry about it. You throw it on the grill, you eat in moderation, you should be all right. Another thing too, like, why are we making vegan food look like meat? This really weird cosplay. You know, oh yeah, I don't want to eat meat. Meat is murder. But man, I really could go for something that reminds me of the good old days when I ate food that didn't torture me. You know. And finally, here in the Midwest, I think there's a Sandusky, Ohio, an illegal immigrant from Venezuela got in trouble. He was trying to rob a bank. Well, you know, anybody, even if they were a legal citizen, robbing a bank here would get in trouble, you would think. But he didn't speak English. The teller did not speak Spanish, so this guy was using a Google Translator app to help him rob the bank. He got arrested. Yeah. Why can't a Venezuelan criminal just make money the old-fashioned way and become a corrupt, ruthless communist dictator? Worked out for Hugo Chavez. And then all said and done, I'm done. Until next time, stay fresh.
You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @davidsonlives.